Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity you've given us to worship you this morning. It's a great day, and we want to worship you in spirit, in true, Lord. As we come to hear your word this morning, we ask you, Lord, to touch the lives and the tongue of your servants through whom you will speak, and touch every single heart here and those who will be hearing this message, and let it be for your glory and for the edification of every soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you know, we are going through the book of Acts, so my mind set on Acts until this morning. Tune in my message, I realized it's the last Sunday before Christmas. I thought it would be, there would be another Sunday. Pastor Payne, of course, has the next one. And then I said, my goodness, the Acts chapter 2 deal with Pentecost. And I said, somehow I just cannot come and preach on Pentecost on Christmas. So it took me a little time, and I thank God for that, that I'm going to introduce the message for next time instead of preaching about Pentecost this morning. And a message from a while ago, if you have good memory, I preach on when Jesus comes in. And then it popped in my mind, and I truly believe the Holy Spirit popped that in my mind the right time. I'm not going to preach it again to you, but it helped me to introduce, to just reflect on how important this season is and why is it important. You know how easy it is to just lose track? So the title of this message is Jesus is all in all. Think with me a bit to see how the whole world is moving. The whole world. The airplanes are making money, the stores, and people are receiving gifts, and many, many things, visiting families and having fun, good food would be going on. But yet, Jesus is the reason. But when you think about it, Jesus is not really up front and everything. The main thing is, okay, Christmas is here, the decorating, the houses and the lights and everything else. But I want to go a little deeper with you this morning to show you how, since Jesus came, he changed things, and things are just not the same. And I remember from that message I talked about from the very beginning what happened, Mary get pregnant. That was troublesome. That's changed a lot. Imagine this young girl, she had her fiance all ready to get married, and all of a sudden she found herself pregnant. And in her time, that's a big deal. It's not like here. I mean, when I say here, it's not in our time now. It was a big deal, and she would have to explain, and if even after she explained, she probably would get stoned. That was a dilemma. She had to face her parents, her fiancé, but it was even a greater dilemma to say it was done by the Holy Ghost. it just happened. Yeah, it's happened. So, of course, she had no choice. She told the truth. So, Joseph said, well, I mean, the Bible says Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good man. He didn't want her to get stoned or get her name to go, you know. So he said in his heart he was going to go far with her and leave her. That's a good man. So there, this couple getting ready to start a life, Jesus came and disturbed their lives. Trouble. And of course, you know, finally when the angel came to Joseph, convinced Joseph that was the work of God. And you remember how they had to go to Bethlehem. That was a hard time. But that's for those two. But when the word came out that a king was supposed to be born, it took a greater extent. Because Herod was the king then, and then he heard that a king was born, his position, his kingship was challenged. So their trouble started. So, you know, the religious people, once again, and they knew about it, so they found in the law what was said about him. I mean, from the beginning, Jesus was trouble for some and a deliverance for others, because we do see the blind. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to preach the good news to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captive. And to those who are bruised, he came to set at liberty. That was time past. Even today, Jesus remains a great subject of controversy, but nobody can get rid of him. I mean, he's there and he's there to stay. And he will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He is the same. So thinking about that, I said, can you remember, if you are a Christian now, if you get saved, can you remember when you were in the world, how easy it was for you just to live your life, have fun? If it's in drinking, you drink, no issue. Actually, the next day, you just talk about it. You know, they say, yeah, that's how much I have. I was almost dead and da-da-da. You take joy out of it. You know, it was a pleasure. And if you had 4 or 5 girlfriends or if you whatever, it's a pleasure to meet with your friends and to, you know, to talk about it. Boom, you become a Christian. At least you invite Jesus in your life and things change. Now it's not the pleasure anymore. You cannot get rid of it, but it bothers you. You see what I'm saying? It bothers you. You just, what used to be fun is not fun anymore. It's like Jesus come and trouble your life. And if you find yourself saying you are a Christian and you feel comfortable sinning, comfortable having pleasure, what we would call the pleasure of this world, you need to think again. Because if you have Jesus in your life, that doesn't mean you will not fall short, you will not sin, but you just cannot enjoy it and tell everybody about it. You see what I'm saying? So when Jesus comes, things change. Truly change. And this is a sign also to know when you have the Spirit of God in you. It's like what you believe and what you do will have to match. And if they don't match, you're troubled until they match. So this is what really we should be thinking about this season. It's a big deal. Our Savior just stopped the whole world for his birthday. This is one child born in Bethlehem. Jesus from Nazareth, stopping the whole world. So The gospel of Jesus is the central theme of the prophecies of the Old Testament and as well as the preaching of the New Testament. It's even before he came, the prophecies of the Old Testament talked about him. And then everybody were waiting for that day. They were waiting. They just did not know. They did not expect him coming the way he came. But everybody were waiting. Okay, when? When is he going to come? When is he going to come? And we find out in John chapter 1, verse 19 to 23, when John was asked who he was. In John chapter 1, 19 to 23. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levite from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, "I am not the Christ." So everybody were in a tent. They expected him to come. And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I'm not. Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" And then that's when he said, "I am the voice in the wilderness." But verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And Jesus confronted those who did not believe him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they just did not believe him. The works he did, they did not believe him. And in John chapter 5, 39, he told them, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." They do believe in the scriptures, because from the scriptures they believe they have eternal life. But he said, "The scriptures also testified of me." They testify of me. The Old Testament was all about Christ. The scriptures testify of me. John 1, 45 to 46, we found Nathanael, who minimized that anything good can come from Nazareth. But Philip found him, and he said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He said, "We found him." They all knew about it. And also Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. But in the Bible says, "The Lord will raise unto them a prophet in their midst." In verse 17, "And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Verse 19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I will be the one judging them. I'll be the one asking them questions." And we go on and on, on and on. I took one again from Acts chapter 18. This is the story of Apollos. Apollos, who got baptized after he met Paul. Verse 28, chapter 18. "For Apollos mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." And as you and I, we know in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus were with his disciples, or if we go even when after his resurrection, when he met the two disciples talking about what took place, and then he told them in verse 25, chapter 24, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. So I just want you to keep in mind, I'm talking about everything is about Christ. Whether it was the Old Testament, whether it is the New Testament. And he continued in chapter 24, when the Bible says in verse 45, he opened the understanding of his disciples that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "It is written, and behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem." The whole New Testament, all Old Testament is about Christ. One last one I picked up is from Revelation chapter 19. Really, it's from 1 to 10, but I will read verse 10 for you. This is John speaking. "I fell at his feet," that's the angel who came to talk to John, "to worship him." So John wanted to worship the angel. "And he said unto me, see that do it not." Don't do that. "I am your fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." But the most important thing, he tell him, worship God. Worship God. Don't worship me. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The whole Testament, Moses, the prophets, it's all about Christ. All about Christ. So, let's say for the Jewish festivals, among many, there are the main three where the Jewish are required to come to the temple. We have the Passover. And obviously we've been to it many times. But Passover is when, after all the miracles God did through Moses and Aaron, that Pharaoh would not let the people go. So God told them, "Speak unto the congregation, tell them, in the 10th day of this month, thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for one house." So we know all this story, and it's the way back then, 1,500 years before Christ. And what he said, they will keep this lamb until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post door of the house, wherein they shall eat it. So it was way back, the picture of Jesus being the sacrificed lamb. And we all know it wasn't an accident. Jesus was crucified that exact same day. I am in Exodus chapter 12, and in verse 11, God told them, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Because what happened? For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Jesus, again, is all in all. Like he was the lamb back then, that blood. And it's I don't know if it's true for English, but it seems like when he says you put the blood two posts side, and then on the top it looks like the cross. I'm not saying it. It just popped in my mind. It seems like it says in the two posts, you put the blood here, and then it just symbolizes the cross. It's all about Jesus. So the same day, Passover, when the lamb was supposed to be killed, that's when they crucified Christ. He represented that lamb. Like John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins. Now, where I want you to pay much attention, because I'm preparing you for Acts chapter 2, this was a feast, the 14th of Nisan, has to be kept, and everybody would have to be there. But the next bigger one was the Feast of Weeks, what we call Pentecost. And it would be 50 days after Passover. They call it the Feast of Weeks, like 7 weeks. You wait seven Sabbath. That's made seven times seven is 49. And then the next day would be the Passover, the Pentecost. So Jesus told his disciples, because they came to celebrate the Passover. That's why they were at Jerusalem. That's why they were in a hurry to kill Jesus, because they didn't want Jesus to be alive before the Sabbath, and this be the weekend of that great feast. So they wanted to get rid of him before that. But what they don't know is like 1,500 years ago, God planned it to happen just like that, because he was supposed to be crucified that same day, like as the lamb. He is the Lamb of God. So what happened is, right after the Passover, 50 days after, you find the Feast of Weeks. What it was? It was the what we call Pentecost. It was the Feast of the First Fruits, it is called. That's when people would come and bring the first fruit of their harvest to dedicate it, concentrate it to God, and say if they give God the best, they trust God to bless the rest of the harvest. So Jesus was the first fruit. So when we read from Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. The reason why I ask you to pay attention to this, nowadays when you say Pentecost, what come to our mind is the Spirit speaking in tongue. That's what come in my mind, in our mind. And we even go so far as forgetting that it was something that's been celebrating every year for 1,500 years. So when Jesus told them to wait, he spent 40 days with them, and he told them to wait because God wanted that to happen that same day. The day when the Holy Spirit came is the day of the first fruit. Do you remember the giving of the law in the mountain? The law was given, and then Moses came down, and then he found the people worshiping a golden calf. You remember what happened, and they were partying and celebrating, and Moses had them kill about 3,000 souls. And that was the same. They also call it, they celebrate Pentecost as the day they received the law as well. It was the same day. So that same day, you know, the law was given. The law was given. It's the same day the Spirit would come down. It's all plain. It's not accident. Because the Bible says the word killeth. Is that what it says? And the Spirit giveth. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. When the letter was given, the tablets were giving, it brought death, 3,000. But that same day, now the Spirit came down, the Spirit brought life. 3,000 came to Christ, came to life. So it's nothing. Jesus is all in all. Everything is connected. Everything is connected. So I do want you, when you are celebrating Christmas, don't celebrate it like everybody else is doing it. No, you cannot be ignorant. You know what it is all about. It came from far. Far. So imagine all the Jews from different nations, and actually it was the whole world back then, would have to be there at Jerusalem. And it wasn't an accident that God had them to stay and have them to speak in different languages, for everybody had to hear it in their own language. It's all planned. They waited 10 days to wait for that specific day. Why did not Jesus stay? If you see, you know, the 40 days are very important. We may have a study on that one day. But at the beginning of his ministry, he spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. And before he left, he spent 40 days with his disciples, convincing them about the truth. It is not accident. Everything is plain. The Bible is one, and Jesus is all in all. So I want to leave you with this. Is it an accident if you are in church this morning? I hope you understand it's not an accident. It was planned, and God knew you were going to be here before the world began. So then you need to know it. You need to know the purpose of you being here. You need to take a look and say, if it's not an accident, then what? Jesus should be the center of our activities, of our lives. That's what it is all about. Or we will just miss the whole point, the whole thing. Do you see how the world is going now with Christmas? I mean, it's just not Christmas the way it's supposed to be. Not the birth of Christ. And you know all the stories about people, like, let's say, if I don't know who was complaining about if you are born on Christmas Day and then they forget you, everybody's talking about Christ. So it would be the same way when Christ would be his birthday, his celebration. He should be the one when everything. But yet, even the gifts, we're doing the things we don't know why we're doing them. Because really, for you and I, what should affect us is like thinking, okay, why did Jesus come? And then you will go back into life to say, wow, it was God so loved the world. You see what I'm saying? That's how far you would go. Huh, God so loved the world. And you would go back to Adam and Eve, what happened? And then from that very day, man was disconnected with God. And then you would go that far, and then they were offering sacrifices and killing animals, and day after day, year after year. Actually, as your pastor, I would be a priest. Every year, I would go to the altar and offer sacrifice for you. Not only you have the everyday thing, but you have the one-year thing to cover all your sins for 1 year. And if you were not rich enough to buy the animals, even catch a bird somehow, can you imagine what it is? How many times you sin a day? What you know, what you don't know, and every time you sin, you have to offer a sacrifice for your sin? Every morning, every evening, there would be a lamb killed for just regular. And as the priests, whether high priest or priest, they sin as well. They have to offer for them and then for the people. So you would go back and to know that Jesus came to replace all that for you, all that. And I know you will not understand it. You will not appreciate that. It's like if you haven't been slave, but our fathers who were slaved, or those who were under whatever they were and they fought for independence, they can appreciate independence. We just come and enjoy it. It's like as parents, for example, let's take it as parents. All your life you work hard to raise the children, and life was really hard, and then let's say they became what you could not become. They became great, but when they were raising up, they found home and they found car, they found everything waiting for them. Do you think they can appreciate that the same as you can, because you were not raised with everything? You had to build everything from. That's what happened. If you were not the one giving, killing the animals for every sin, you cannot appreciate the good news about Jesus being your sacrifice. But if you can go and see how many times you sin, how sorry you feel, and for every sin, all the time you would have to find an animal to kill, that's painful. So now Jesus came, he said, just receive me as your savior, as your sacrifice, and then all you have to say to do is, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sin, I repent, and that's all. That's how easy it is. The Bible talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. Sometimes you do something to somebody, and they say, don't worry about it, you just cannot believe it. Are you serious? That's all? Say, yeah, I'm serious. That's what happens. Sometimes we just cannot believe it's that easy. We feel like we have to do something else. For those who believe, you have to work for your salvation. That's what happened. You just cannot trust the grace of God. So this is all it is about. When you go that far, and then you say, wow, if Jesus can come and die for my sin, I must be able to forgive. I must be able to love. I must be able to get along. This is the real Christmas. This is the real thing. And as Christian, though we can do all the other things, this should be the number one for us. About God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And then Jesus said, as he was sent, he sent us. As he was sent, as the Father sent him, he said, I send you. Now, do you feel you are sent for real? Do you feel like you are sent, like you are the sacrifice too? You are the sacrifice too. Because he said, if one die for all, what happened? All is dead. If one die for all is dead. Therefore, if we live, the Bible says, not us, but what? Christ liveth in us. If you say you accept Christ and as your sacrifice, as your Lord and Savior, that means you are dead with Christ. And if you are living now, it should not be you. It should not be you. It should not be about you. It should be about Christ. And if we live our days like that, things will be so much easier to forgive, to love, to endure. So much easier. I'm not telling you that because I get it covered. But every time it comes to my mind, I can be in the middle of treating my brother in the bad way. And then I thought about it. I said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. That's what it is when you're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it is about. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will talk like Christ, walk like Christ, love like Christ, do everything like Christ. That's what it is about. So my wish for you is that you don't celebrate Christmas like everybody else is doing it. You can still have the fun, do everything, but don't remember Jesus is the reason. Jesus is all in all. May God bless you.